You're listening to The Real Short Box, a comic book podcast made for geeks by geeks.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in and listening to The Real Short Box. My name is Donald.
And my name is Kevin.
Kevin, we are talking about something that I think we've just hit. We've hit our limit. We've had enough. Comic book gimmicks and schemes is what we're talking about today. And I think what just really was the last straw for us was something that I just want to dive right into on this, because I really can't understand how this happened. Who thought this was a good idea? And I know that's a funny little cheeky reference that I'm making here, but I just don't get it. And I think we've had enough and it needs to stop. And what am I talking about, Kevin? I know the audience might not know, so you go ahead.
I'm taking a wild guess. I think you're a little upset about the the Invisible comic book.
Yes. A company called Bad Idea, and they're full of them, partnered with, I believe, if I'm correct, it's Comic Tom.
Yes, Comic Tom, to a small extent, yes.
To a small extent. Maybe he's not a partner, but he's advertising the idea for them. And that guy, I would assume, doesn't do that for free. So they decided to give away, I believe, or is it sell? An invisible comic book, which is just an empty CGC case graded at I believe a 9.8.
Yeah, I believe there's 34 copies.
I would imagine that there would be some 10s. Or at least a few 9.9s, because
probably
fucking invisible. Yeah, it's not invisible, guys. They don't have that technology. It's an empty CGC case that you're going to get, and it looks like some people are already trying to claim it or get one, and they're willing to spend thousands of dollars.
Yeah, I think I told you earlier. You know, my old coworker friend Austin, he was telling me a friend of his was trying to get one until he saw the minimum starting price was $1,000. And I said, wow, $1,000 just to start.
Opening bid. Yeah. I'll bid. You know what would be hilarious actually is if the person won and they paid with invisible money.
You know, it's funny. I would do that just to, you know, add to the stupidity of it all.
Yeah.
Hey, I'll pay with my invisible PayPal account. How's that?
I just can't believe this exists. But judging from things that they've done in the past, they did something with a pin. And you go ahead and explain that one.
Yes, that same company, Bad Idea, up until recently, I think only up through last year, like about four or five or six of their comics, they were coming out with these gold buttons, these gold customer pins or buttons. And you know, if you get it, it gives you the ability to get, I believe, like a free comic, but something that's going to be worth a lot of money. So if you get that gold pin, if you go on eBay, those gold pins go for a crap load of money. It's like ridiculous. So people are losing their minds over these Bad Idea gold number one pins pins.
Here's the funny thing that, A, it's been done before, and B, they said that they were going out of business. They said, oh, it's been fun, but, you know, we're going to be closing up and stuff.
That's a gimmick, too.
I know that's a gimmick, too, but it's really dumb. I don't know. No offense to them. I think these are the guys that did Valiant Comics, like the reinvented Valiant Comics recently within the last, 10 years or so, 10, 12 years. And they've done a decent job at that. But a lot of the same writers from that company have come over to this company, Bad Idea. And like the pin thing, for example, that was done very well through Malibu to a point with their Bravada right. line. I think it was Bravada right. or Bravada line.
Yeah, it was like 30 years ago.
Yeah, that they did. And it was stamps. It was stamps and comic books, and you had to take the stamp out of the comic book and put it on a board. And you and I and the audience should know, but if you don't, go to our any of our podcast pages, actually, or you can go to directly to the website, rumblespoon.com. You can go to YouTube and look up Rumblespoon Productions, and it'll be listed under there. It'll be like the one of the first things. It's a Malibu Comics interview that we did with the creators of Malibu Comics. And we talk about this and how I got kind of shafted when it came to this stamp. And, you know, 30 years later, they finally made good on that on that yeah, promise.
They did you right. They did you right.
Yeah. But it was funny that happened. And now Bad Idea is doing it. And then they say they're going out of business. And then it's like, okay, so people that get this pin, are they really going to get anything, or are they not going to get anything? And if they do, is it going to be an invisible comic book? Because I would be really pissed if that was the free thing that I got.
Well, maybe not. If you could resell that invisible comic for, you know, thousands of dollars, I'd call that a good deal, actually. And by the way, looking at it on eBay here, Pirate Queen, which, you know, I have that book as well. You know, if you got the gold pin to go with it, $175 somebody wants for it.
Really?
Yeah, $175. I mean, that's not unusual. Some of them go into a couple hundred dollars for some of these different books that they come out with. Like Odin's Eye, that's like another one that's pretty big right now from them.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's the thing. These things are very gimmicky. You know, if I just happen to be at the comic book shop at the right time, sure, I'll take the gold pin. I won't argue with it. But to go out of your way, and I think I was telling you earlier before we started recording, there is a guy at this particular shop that sells Bad Idea comics. He was there like at 6 a.m, just camping out just to get this gold button. I'm like, wow.
And he has to have all of them in order to get something from it?
Not necessarily. I think if you just have one, it's good for something, you know, that you'll get later on.
Oh, man, I hope it's a blowy.
I mean, it's an interesting concept, however, like you said, it's been done before. And just some people, anytime these comic book companies pull these schemes, people lose their minds. They're, you know, they're beating each other over the head to get their hands on it. And yeah. it's just silly. Okay, here we go. I found the what happens. To redeem a copy of each comic, you must send 2 first customer pins. So I guess you need 2 of them then, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, so whatever. I mean, it's if that's what you want to do, if you have all the time in the world to camp out for these buttons, hey, knock yourself out.
That's what always kind of upset me. They don't have anything for free for working stiffs. Like people that have 9-to-5 jobs.
Yeah, what do you do?
They don't have the capability to get something like that.
But you know what? It's not just for stuff like this. It's for anything. It's like if you want to get the latest shoes, sneakers, the whatever, electronics, iPhones, the newest iPhones, the same thing. You have
Black
to be
Friday.
Black Friday.
You see people camped out for a week ahead of time.
Oh yeah, I think I told you.
Do you not work? Do you not have a job? And like, how are you able to do this? Are you doing this in shifts? Do you have?
Some people do.
I don't get it. Like, unfortunately, I don't know anybody that works a night shift that's available all day to come in, you know, and like cover for me or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have that capability. And it, you know, I guess if you do, kudos to you. And if you don't have a job and you live at home, that's great. I hate you, but that's great.
If you own your own business, or if you're someone who's like maybe a contractor, you could do your job, whatever, at different times, then those are people can probably pull it off. You know, you're able to have that ability to do that. Or if you're a trust fund kid, then even better. You can do whatever you want at any time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, do those people need it? You know?
Like, right. Well, you know what they're up to, obviously. It's just like I told you right now. I told you one of the eBay prices, you know, it's all about the reset.
Yeah, it's about the, I guess, the rich getting richer in this case, a lot of time. Or the unemployed finding more ways to not be employed. I don't know more reasons.
Well, there's that too. For those who are very clever and savvy, as you know, there's been many people over the last couple of years who decided to, even if they weren't laid off, they decided to quit their jobs and just, you know, look for other ways to earn income. And no doubt, I'm sure there's a few people out there who are doing things such as this.
Yep. So we've talked about the stamps and pins, and we've talked about the invisible comic book. I'd like to talk about another subject briefly, and that's variants. Mm. Variant covers. I know that in the 90s, this was a big thing as far as like, oh, you can have the regular cover or you can have the foil variant cover for $2 more. And, you know, and everybody thought these foil covers are going to be worth a fortune. You know, this my kid's going to go to college on these foil covers. I'm going to take these in my Beanie Baby collection and I'm going to rule the world someday. And it just didn't pan out.
Well, of course, because they forgot one little small factor. There's millions of them.
Yes, everybody's doing it. And the same thing is happening again with a lot of these variants. Granted, they've learned somewhat, but they have done something different this time. Instead of doing millions of copies of one variant, they will do thousands of copies of multiple variants. And that makes it a little more,
a little more seldom to find.
Right, a little harder to find, a little more... But makes people wanting them a little bit more. And the funny thing is like you have like a what do they call that? A dress cover, which is for example, let's say Incredible Hulk. So it would say Incredible Hulk on the cover and it would have the variant sketch drawing on the cover. And then it would have the price and everything and all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or you can get the Virgin variant, which doesn't have any title, doesn't have the price or anything like that on the front of the cover. It's all like that stuff. You know, the price and things are on the back. And the inside of the cover tells what the comic book is. So
don't forget the blank white.
Yes.
Very
good. Was getting there. Yeah. And they'll do like one that's a sketch cover, a blank sketch cover to where you can take it to any comic book artist and have them draw whatever you want on that cover of that comic book. So if you get, let's say it's an Incredible Hulk number one, not the original, of course. But it has the white sketch cover, and you can take it over to, you know, Todd McFarlane, for example. He's not going to do it, but let's say, you know, you take it to Todd McFarlane, and you'd be like, oh, I'd like your Incredible Hulk. You did him, you know, before. I'd love to have you do a sketch of him. And he'd be like, yeah, okay, you know, and then he does Incredible Hulk on your cover.
And Kevin Eastman would do it, that's for sure. He would do it.
It's a more personalized thing. So that one doesn't bother me. That one's never bothered me at all, because there's a more personalized aspect of that. It's like when you go get a comic book signed and they're like, okay, who do I make this out to?
Oh, yeah. Reminds me of my first comic. One of my first comic cons, the Watchmen trade paperback. I got two. I got one for myself, one for you. And just by luck, I took a wild guess of what you wanted sketched by David Gibbons, and he sketched Night Owl for you. And it worked out perfectly.
Yeah, yeah. But like if you were wanting to resell something, for example, you wouldn't want them to put your name.
No, no, no. That's
and
true.
They know that. So sometimes artists won't do it without putting
your name.
Too. Yeah.
Unless you get lucky, you sell it to someone with the same name as you.
Right. Yeah.
Then it works out. But then again, obviously, what's the whole point? You wanted it anyway because it's personal towards you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. I think Perseus is a hard name. So, you know, anybody that's Perseus that had their book signed to them, I think they're going to have a hard time. Getting that bought resold by anybody else.
that's true. Resold. There's exceptions to the rules, of course. If there's like maybe a, you know, 500 copies ever in existence of that particular book, then people wouldn't care. Oh yeah, I'll take it from you.
Yeah,
it's just this really hot thing that everyone's killing to get their hands on. Then yeah, you know, there's exceptions to the rules.
Yeah, absolute exceptions. Yeah, absolute. And the variants move on and on and on. They just did a new Hulk comic. I think Donny Cates is writing it, if I recall, and it hasn't been out very long. And the first issue, I think, had like at least 10 to 12 different covers, at least like an insane amount of different covers
That's silly.
Different sketches and stuff and different versions. And I get they're like, oh, well, you know, if you don't like this artwork, maybe you'll like this one. And if you don't like that one, maybe you'll like this one. But does your comic book, is your comic book going to sell that well that you can justify that?
Well, it reminds me when they came, out the new Spider-Man books a few years ago. Yeah, it's like maybe like 5, 6, 7 years ago, something like that. And I remember there was like issues A through Z, and then it went like AA through ZZ. It was like so many variants. It was ridiculous. Like, this doesn't make any sense. Like literally like 50 something variant covers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's like, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Let me ask you something. If you created a variant cover, if you had them do a variant cover for, let's say, for the Real Short Box.
Right.
Would you do a cover and then all of us at the Real Short Box sign it and give it away, or, you know, as a prize to people? Or would you just give them the variant cover as the prize? What would you do?
I would rather give you the variant with all the signatures.
Would you?
Yeah.
I'm completely the opposite. Really? I don't find that there's any value in my signature other than if I'm writing you a check. Or contractual agreement.
Hey, you never know. If we all started like becoming like the, what's the name, Abbott and Lanning, something like that, DNA, yeah. Then you never know. It might be worth something. You know, we take over one of these books at DC or Marvel and
come up with something original. And if we worked in the comic books in the past, sure. But we haven't really, technically. Right. I mean, I've done a little bit. I've dabbled here and there. But, I just don't understand it. And that was another thing that came up recently. Again, Comic Tom's name was involved with it, where him and everybody that kind of worked for him, even his dad, I think it was, signed the comic and was going to give it away. And
you know what? That's different. I think like if we were like creators or something, I thought that's what you meant. Like if you're like the creator, not just.
No. Like if they just hired somebody to do a variant.
No. I'll just.
And then they were like, we'll sign it, you know?
Okay, that's different. Yeah, that's different.
That's a little odd to me, and not something that I would want to be involved. I wouldn't want to sign it. I wouldn't want to sully it, you know?
Yeah. That's a different story. If I wasn't part of the creative process as the writer or artist or the penciler, the colorist or something like that, then yeah, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I think it's weird. And there's a lot of this weirdness going on and going around. I got caught up in the hype, I will admit. And like every new book that came out, it seems like the creators now and the company knows that if there's a first appearance in there, people are more likely to buy it. So now every week there's at least 5 first appearances in the comic book world.
Yeah. So that thing is crazy, especially going through the Key Collector app every week. And when there's new book being released, it tells you first appearances this week.
Yep. And it's just too much. Like I got caught up in the hype at first, and then I looked around and I was like, oh my God, I've got 2 short boxes of books that I haven't read just because I've been trying to buy the new hottest thing that's supposed to be, you know, first appearance.
Speculating,
basically.
Now, the way you're going about it, you'll get a hit here and there, no doubt. Yep. It's just the fact that you have to spend so much money to get there. For example, you were smart enough doing what you did to get your hands on, good Lord, Something's Killing the Children. There you go.
Yeah.
So, boom, you lucked into that a couple years ago.
Yeah. But just happened to grab one, you know, a number one issue first print and had it and was like, okay, I'm going to try it out. It looks cool. It looks interesting. It's a cool book. Don't get me wrong, but I've spent way more in comic books than that book is worth.
Right. You know, just to get a hit there, so to speak.
Right. So you have to be careful in that. Now, for me, I'll still read most of these books, so I'll get my value out of it. You know, I'll get, you know, time and effort that I put into it back out. And hopefully, you know, if the story's good, if the story's rubbish, then that's going to be disappointing.
Yeah, you're done.
Yeah. And they've done a plethora of like horror books that have come out recently. And a lot of those have been a lot of fun. So I've been enjoying those. It's more of the indie stuff, actually, that's been kind of crazy good lately. And DC and Marvel, the big guns, have been kind of almost struggling in a way to keep up because of all of that, because of all of the quality that's come out in the independent world. So
that's where if you remember, I was kind of doing that for a bit of almost a decade ago. I would kind of just stick to indie books where I was taking a chance on it, buy all these Image books or Dark Horse or Valiant just to see, okay, was maybe one of these be ahead. I'll sit back and read them as well and see, okay, if this is a good story. If this is a good story, I'll keep subscribing to it. If not,
right. But that's the problem with me though, is like, I'll buy a book and I'm like, did I read it? No. But the second issue is coming out. Should I grab it? Oh, probably. And then I'll read the first and second, and then I'll know if I like it. And then the third issue comes out, and I was like, crap, I didn't read the first and second. Well, I better get the third, and then I can read all three. And then the fourth issue comes out, and I was like, oh, dear God. You know?
So, if it's a limited series, it usually does me best, because at least I know it's going to be over at some point, so I'll take my chances. Okay, you know what? The first issue wasn't so bad. I'll finish the whole series and see where it goes, and then I really like it, I like it. Now, there's some limited series I get really wrapped up into from the indie world, and as you know, they don't have to come out with their books on time. You remember that one Infinite Vacation that I really liked? It took like, I don't know, almost 2 years for them to finish the five issue series.
Yes, but at least it finished. Remember Nonplayer?
Yeah. Oh yeah, good Lord, Nonplayer. It was like 8 years before the second issue came out or something. It was something ridiculous.
Yeah, and there was another one called Hell Yeah. And by the way, Nonplayer never even finished. It got to a second issue, and that was it. So it's a rather worthless comic book as far as value is concerned and story. Hell Yeah, I think, was the other one that was like some type of sickness within the writer's family, or the writer felt ill or something and apologized and was like, I know it's been a while, but I want to finish the story. Here it is. And that's respectable to me. Like that's somebody that's a completist that wants to have their time and effort, you know, seen as something worthwhile, something that they've put together. And I get it. Even if you put together one comic book, you've done something quite remarkable, because it's very hard. And if that comic book is popular, it's even harder.
That's true. Think of someone like a Rob Kirkman. You know, there's no way he knew that Walking Dead, or even better, to have two, Invincible, was going to take off. There's no way. I mean, to have two major hits like that is just like, it's just no way. And the fact that he was blessed that it worked out, that people really grasped onto his stories.
Yeah.
You know, it's a blessing, because you're one out of like 1,000 people trying to do the same thing.
Yep. And he's done like, I think, 3 series now that he's written, has 4 actually, has been on TV. We had The Walking Dead first, followed by Outcast, which I never thought was all that good. It just got sold because his name was involved. And he had only been, like, he was only 20 issues in when he sold it. And they made a show out of it, and I think it was on Showtime or Stars. And I don't think it's still going. I don't think it lasted very long, to be honest. And then there was Super Dinosaur, which he sold to Amazon, because I think he has a first look deal now with them.
Yep.
Created the animated series of that. And then came...
What about Thief of Thieves? Have they picked that up yet?
I don't know. Maybe. It's I think it's part of that first look deal, so they easily could roll with it. I'm not 100% on that one. They may have started something with it. In fact, somebody told me that they had. And then I said, well, are you sure? And they said, well, no. And I said, okay, then. Let's just wait until we hear a little bit more. It might have gotten options, but that doesn't mean much until they actually start filming, you know, until they start casting and putting things together.
So it's green lighted, so you know for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. You have to kind of wait on those kind of things. And those books, that's a long wait. You know, Thief of Thieves came out in what, the
2011, something like that.
Somewhere around there, maybe 2010. So it's been a 10-year long wait, at least, you know, 10, 12 years that we've been waiting on this book, you know, this kind of book to hit. So
our friend with the, from Long Beach, we met about 13 years ago.
Yeah. Sebastian, right?
Sebastian. Yeah.
Yeah. With Stranger Comics, to have his, series hit. Possibly, you know, Niobe, I believe, was one of the characters, a big character in there for him. And it was called The Untamed, am I correct?
Yeah, The Untamed. And then, yeah, I think there was like a spin-off Niobe series as well. Matter of fact, that's like his bread and butter character, if anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I know HBO, he has some kind of development deal trying to get that developed there. But like you said, until it's actually greenlit, It's just sitting there, you know. Right. I'm sure at some point they'll pick it up, but he has to be patient.
Possibly, yeah. And I think, you know, he's doing the smart thing by continuously fleshing out that universe with the characters.
That way it's grown, it's rich in characters, it's ready to go. So when they're ready, right. Okay, we got a lot of stories we could pull from.
It's like Patrick Rothfuss, you know, in his writing, mapping out his world, his fantasy world in his books. And he's been doing it for a while now. So if he, and I think he did, like, sell the rights to the film or the series, which I think it would probably make a better series than a film, to be honest, because there's just so much involved. It's so rich. It's like the Lord of the Rings or Game of Thrones in a lot of ways. So I feel like it would make a better series, of course. So if he did indeed sell the rights to that, that would be a tremendous thing. And it's not in comic book form, as far as I know. It's only in novel form. And it's funny because first appearance-wise, you know, when you go, oh, well, who's the first appearance of this character? Oh, well, the first appearance of this character is actually the novel. You know, the book. But comic book collectors want to know the first appearance in comic book form because they want to collect the comic book of the thing they like.
Oh, you know what? You just brought something to my attention. I just reminded me of, speaking of things that I find gimmicky and silly, is the first appearance thing. You know, the comic book resource guide issue 2700 is actually the first appearance of so-and-so.
Oh, God, we've landed on this before.
Yeah, but I just wanted to bring up again. It's so stupid. Like, to me, if it's not an actual comic book, you know, it could be like a cameo appearance in a comic book. Fine, we can play that game. But we want to start using these other publications as the first appearance. That's going too far.
Yeah, agreed. I think it's definitely gone too far with that kind of thing. I don't like it. In a lot of ways, it's trying to, whatever you have now, it's trying to validate what you own and make it worth more than it is. And there's only a few things that I like. I think it was Amazing Heroes or something like that, or Amazing Superheroes. I can't remember the name of the magazine. But they had an ad in it for the Ninja Turtles, and it was just an ad, and it had the picture of all four Ninja Turtles. Well, at this point, I'm not going to be able to afford a first appearance in the Ninja Turtles right now.
Have faith.
Right. We've talked about this. It's like, you know, even in bad conditions, it's like 40
grand. Don't you have a fourth print?
No, I don't have any of the prints. I could get a print, you know, a printing of it. In fact, well, actually, I take that back. I do have the first comics color edition print, which has the pages that they took out of the original put back in. Oh. So it's actually the only complete printing of the comic book, technically, if you want to look at it that way, which is an interesting piece of history, which is why I own it. But the magazine, I wanted the advertisement because that was actually the first time anything was ever printed of the Ninja Turtles. So to me, that was an important thing. Maybe more so than the number one issue, just because of the history of it. You know, like a lot of people like Malibu Sun, one of the issues of Malibu Sun that has Spawn.
Spawn amongst other characters from Image. You're absolutely right.
Rust was another one that has an ad for Spawn, like a little ad for Spawn. And everybody was like, oh, I need to get that. So Completus, that becomes part of the collection. And tracking it down. Now, should that be considered the actual true first appearance in comic book form? No, because it's a magazine or it's a comic book advertisement. It's not a comic book.
Exactly. And that's the whole point. We're collecting comics, right?
Yeah. There's other things inside of it. It's not a comic book. It just isn't.
That's the case. You know, you might find, Time magazine from 1985 has the, you know, first appearance of Watchmen or something like that. Yeah. You know, you can get that stupid.
Yeah, and I think Hyundai did something similar. Actually, they did a kind of a gimmicky thing where if you bought a car, they gave you a Walking Dead comic. And that was like during the height of The Walking Dead. And I thought that was cool. They're very hard to find, by the way, in good shape. And I know the guys at the shop have at least one copy of it in a 9.8, which is crazy to think about. And it's like a $3,000 to $4,000 book.
Oh yes, I've seen that before. Yes,
and that's because of its rarity, which is understandable. And it is a comic book. it just has an ad for, you know, Hyundai or whatever on the back, I believe. And maybe on the front it mentions it. But inside there's a story there, you know. There's a comic book. It was made for them exclusively. And if you bought a car, you got that book, ridiculously enough. That being an incentive to buy an entire vehicle, I don't think that that would have worked out very well for them. If it was
there better be some vehicle.
Yeah. If they would have said, you know what, we're going to raffle off an Action Comics number one. All you have to do is buy a car and you get in. And we're only going to let 100 people buy cars and get in the raffle.
Oh, well, hey, I'm down.
Yeah. I'm buying a car, Kevin. And you can only buy one. You know what I mean? Like, that would be crazy.
Right. I'm down for that. You know, that Action Comics number one could be a CGC 1.0. You wouldn't care.
Nope, it could be an NG or whatever they call that, you know?
Oh yeah. You have, like, you know, page 2024 or something like that,
right, in there. It's just a page, and it's an advertisement for a Twinkie, and Superman's in it. I'd be like, I'm in, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I think we've very eloquently described our disgust and distaste for these types of things. So with that, I just want to quickly mention to everybody that we do this podcast on multiple platforms. We are on Spotify. We're on iHeartRadio. We're on Spreaker. We are on Blurberry. We are on a whole host of others, Google, Amazon, Apple, you name it, we're on it. If you can't find us, let us know, and we'll get on that podcast platform for you. We also do live shows every Monday, usually, 7:30 p.m. Pacific time. There's chat sections, so you can talk to fellow comic book and pop culture fans, which is what we usually discuss. We have a lot of fun with that, and we do a lot of giveaways, actually, too. Too many giveaways sometimes, if you ask me, but, you know, we're generous folk, so we like to do it, and we have fun doing it. So tune in for that if you can. It's on YouTube under the Rumblespoon Productions page. And, yeah, that's pretty much it. So if we don't see you out and about anytime soon, perhaps we will see you
at the distinct, dizzy, but never dull comic book shop.
This has been The Real Short Box. We'll see you at the comic shop. Thanks for listening.